Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. On the 8th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend, "If the British march by land or by sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light. One if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore shall be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm." Then he said good night, and with muffled oar silently rode to the Charlestown shore, just as the moon rose over the bay, where swinging wide at her moorings lay the Somerset, British man of war, a phantom ship with each mast and spar across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Meanwhile, impatient to mount and ride, booted and spurred with a heavy stride, on the opposite shore walked Paul Revere. Now he patted his horse's side, now he gazed at the landscape far and near, then impetuous stamped the earth and turned and tightened his saddle girth. But mostly he watched with eager search the belfry tower of the old North Church. As it rose above the graves on the hill, lonely and spectral and somber and still, and lo, as he looks, on the belfry's height, a glimmer and then a gleam of light. He springs to the saddle, the bridle he turns, but lingers and gazes till full on his sight, a second lamp in the belfry burns. You know the rest. In the books you have read how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball from behind each fence and barnyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane, then crossing the fields to emerge again under the trees at the turns of the road, and only pausing to fire and load. So through the night rode Paul Revere, and so through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, and a word that shall echo forevermore. For born on the night wind of the past, through all our history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed, and the midnight message of Paul Revere. An abridged version of the famous poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Paul Revere was a herald, perhaps the most well-known herald of the modern world. He was a messenger to a militia poised for battle, awaiting an enemy force ready to take up their arms. He rode furiously and passionately with a message for his brothers in arms, a message that would change the course of history. They came by sea, not by land, and his compatriots then had the upper hand. The tide is turned, the rest is history, as they say. But today we meet a different herald, technically two different heralds, not messengers of war, but love and peace, from a time long before the American Revolution. The first prophesied to the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. His name, Malachi, which meant simply, "my messenger." His message, a warning to the nation of Israel. The Jews had been allowed to return to Jerusalem, but they had forgotten the law. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me," says the Lord. "All must be made right and set straight, for the king is coming." These words of the prophets echoed down over the ages and find their way to the third chapter of Luke's gospel, where we hear of the second herald, the one we call John the Baptist. God had been using men and women to prepare the way for centuries, their messages recorded in the Holy Scriptures and written on the hearts of those who would believe. And the most recent voice at that time was John. But John undoubtedly builds on a strong tradition. John is Jesus' cousin, we remember. It was John who leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb when the pregnant Mary came to visit. It was John whom God charged to prepare the way. He became known as the baptizer, wandering the countryside, the highlands and the lowlands, the streets and the alleys, the rivers and the deserts. He was a simple man, wearing clothes of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. He baptized those who would come with repentant hearts. It was, as he proclaimed, a baptism of repentance. Repent of your sins, be forgiven, and then be washed clean. It was akin to a ceremonial cleansing, not foreign to the Jews, but of a different character. John knew well his role. He knew he was not the one. He accepted it, and he proclaimed it. He was meant to pave the way, to clear the path, to make it straight for the one who would follow him, the one whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. John accepted his role and where he fit in the long line of those God had chosen to prepare the way. In fact, he followed God's call all the way to his grisly death, never getting to witness the full fruits of his labor. John was a herald of what was to come. His message, turn from your sins and repent, and God will forgive. And God did, and God does. And Jesus Christ came. We celebrate in the days to come his birth of humble origins and humble stock. Yet God in the flesh, Emmanuel, he healed and he taught. He challenged and he comforted. He was crucified and he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. And he is surely coming again. Thus it is true that the preparing of the way is not finished, even though the nature of the proclamation has changed. For unlike Malachi and John, we have the good news. We know God's plan to redeem and to reconcile the world through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so the torch has been passed from one generation to another. Over thousands of years, Christ not only came, but he is coming again. Just as before, there are preparations to be made. The way is not yet straight. The wilderness still needs to hear the cry. Just as before, the preparation for the coming of the Messiah is not the task for a select few. It is the task of all who claim faith in our risen Lord. We are all prophets. We are all heralds. We are all evangelists. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is coming again, and we, you and me, are his messengers. We may not be surrounded by arid wastelands or thick forests, but make no mistake, the wilderness is still here. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. A voice cries out in war-torn lands in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. A voice cries out on violent city streets in Baltimore and Washington. A voice cries out in Pakistan. A voice cries out in the midst of breaking and broken families. A voice cries out to those caught up in the vicious cycle of addiction. A voice cries out in homeless shelters and on icy streets on the coldest of winter nights. A voice cries out on Wall Street and in the halls of government. A voice cries out in refugee camps and HIV hospices in Africa. A voice cries out in orphanages in the Philippines and in China. A voice cries out right here in Columbia, in Howard County. A voice cries out in the wilderness. But whose voice is it? Is it your voice? Is it my voice? If not, then whose voice is it? Who prepares the way for the Lord now, today, in this place, on these streets, in your office, in your classroom, or in your boardroom? Clearly, the work is not done. It did not begin with John, and it did not end with John. This is the great joy of our Christian faith, that we do not worship and serve a God who is far off and disinterested. Our God desires to be in relationship with us, and our God wants us to be actively involved in the inbreaking of God's kingdom in this world. The work is not done for us, because the work is for us. It is the privilege of our identity as children of God. We don't sit idly by watching what God is doing in this world. We jump into the fray, and we mix it up with the Creator of the universe. Just imagine, if you will, that God wants us, wants you and me, to help accomplish God's purpose in this world. And the first task is preparation. So prepare this day and in the days to come, you heralds of the good news. Make that voice crying out in the wilderness your voice. Make straight the paths in your own life and in this world. Rejoice, for you too have been called by the God of the universe to prepare the way for the return of God's Son. And on that day, God willing, we might all be counted among the sheep on his right hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.